And a good evening to everybody. This is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, and Fiber Optic over there on the other side of the room.
Here I am.
Yeah, there's something going on today in New York, isn't there?
It's something weird.
It's horrible. The traffic today is just, it's a nightmare. You can't get anywhere, and nobody knows why. They're closing roads and mobs of people, and it's like the holiday shopping season, except it's not the holiday yet, you know? I don't know. You have the crowds, the bustling crowds, without the spirit of the bustling, you know?
And it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, I imagine so. That's New York. If you're not here, stay away, because we don't need you. We have enough people here right now. This is Off the Hook. We're broadcasting around the world once again. At least I hope so. We'll be updating folks on that, hopefully on the internet and over 99.5 FM in New York City. We have some special features that we're going to be demonstrating. And I guess the first thing that we should do is ask ourselves a very simple question. Very simple question. And I'll ask this of you, Fiber.
Okay.
When does black equal white? Ah, you don't know, do you?
So we don't rehearse this. With John Travolta.
No. We don't rehearse this. This is not playing. You look very baffled, and that bafflement is transmitting itself out over the airwaves because you have no idea what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
So let us journey together out into the wondrous world of telecommunications to find out when, indeed, black equals white.
Enter your password. You have 4 messages. 4 are saved. To listen to your messages, press 1. To send a message, press 2. To change your greeting, press 3. To change your personal options, press 4. To make a call, press 9.
Yeah, I really like that last one, to make a call, you know? That's
to listen to your messages, press 1.
Well, we're listening to OmniPoint voicemail. And there's a really cool feature within this, a hidden feature. Well, it's not really hidden if you know it's there, but it's not on the menu. And that's if you hit 2 nines. This is what you get.
Good evening. Voice dial. What would you like to do?
And you can say all kinds of... Of course, now it's listening to me and it's not making any sense out of this. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I didn't hear you. Could you please repeat that?
Well, you heard me. You just didn't understand me. Oh, I'm going to have to start all over again. Let's go. Come on.
Could you please repeat that?
Add.
Please say a personal directory name, program, dial, customer care, or help.
Help.
You're at the voice dialing main menu.
Right.
At the main menu, you can say a personal directory name, program, dial, help, customer care, or voicemail. If you would like more help, say program, dial, customer care, or voicemail. To exit help, say cancel.
Program.
To program or modify your personal directory, say program in the main menu. Main menu, what would you like to do?
Program.
Program menu, what would you like to do?
Program.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Now you need to say add.
Oh, add.
Right.
What name would you like to add?
WBAI.
Please repeat the name.
WBAI.
Please speak or key in the number for
WBAI.
212-279-0707.
The number is 212-279-0707.
That's
is this
good.
Correct?
Yes, and I'm very impressed.
WBAI.
Has been added. Would you like to add another name?
Yes.
What name would you like to add?
Black.
Please repeat the name.
White.
Please speak or key in the number for...
White.
212-279-0707.
The number is 212-879-0707. 707.
My two
is this correct?
Gates. No.
The number not. Is 212279 0707. Is this correct?
No. N-O. No.
Please speak or key in the number for
white.
212-279-3400. I changed it.
The number is 212-279-3400. Is this correct?
Yeah.
White.
Has been added. Would you like to add another name?
No.
I'm returning you to the main menu. Main menu, what would you like to do?
Add.
Could you please repeat that?
There's no add.
Oh, program.
Program menu, what would you like to do?
Add.
What name would you like to add?
Black.
That word is too similar to your personal directory entry.
White.
Try using both the first and last name. Name not added.
Isn't
program
that cool?
Menu, what would you like to do?
Dial.
I'm sorry,
call?
I didn't hear
what
you.
What is it, dial, call?
You gotta go back to the main menu.
Oh, main menu.
Main menu.
Yeah.
What would you like to do?
Dial.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Could you please repeat that?
Dial.
Please speak a telephone number or say cancel to return to the main menu.
Can I say a name?
Yeah.
Well, it didn't say that. It said enter a number or... I want to speak a, you know, I want to speak a name.
Maybe you got to say program dial.
Program.
I recognized seven digit. Please say a longer telephone number. Please speak a telephone number or say cancel to return to the main menu.
Cancel.
I have canceled this call.
Thank you.
Main menu. What would you like to do?
Program.
Program menu. What would you like to do?
Dial.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear
can't
you.
Can't do that. Dial. I don't think I can dial from here.
You are at the voice dialing program menu. At the program menu, you can say add, change, delete, review, or cancel. If you'd like more help, say add, change, delete, or review.
So I guess I'll do it
to exit help,
part.
Say cancel.
Yeah. Okay, cancel.
Program menu, what would you like to do?
One more cancel.
Cancel.
Main menu, what would you like to do?
Dial.
Please speak a telephone number or say cancel to return to the main menu.
WBAI.
I recognized three digit. Please say a longer telephone number. Please speak a telephone number or say cancel to return to the main menu.
Cancel. This is the fundamental
I have canceled this call.
Voice
main
dial.
Menu. What would you like to do?
Help.
Could you please repeat that?
Yes. Help. Please, help.
You're at the voice dialing main menu. Uh-huh. At the main menu,
right.
You can say a personal directory name, program, dial, help, customer care, or voicemail.
All right.
If you would like more help, say program, dial, customer care, or voicemail. To exit help, say cancel.
WBAI.
If you would like more help, say program, dial, customer care, or voicemail. To exit help, say cancel.
Got to exit. Cancel.
Main menu. What would you like to do?
WBAI.
I will now call
WBAI.
To cancel the call, say cancel.
Zip, zip. It just speeds right through, doesn't it? Here we go.
You have reached 99.5 FM, commercial-free WBAI. If you
it
know
works.
The three-digit extension you want, enter it now. Public Affairs.
Okay, it works. So that's how you play with OmniPoint voice dialing, which I just started playing with recently. But the coolest part, if I said black, it would say dialing white.
Yeah.
You know? What it does, it asks you to say the name twice. Most people say the name twice, and they say the same name.
Right.
However, if you say a different name each time... It saves both of those names as the name that you're calling.
Huh.
So each name can have like a hidden name. They don't talk about this at all. I don't know if they even know it exists. But you can have two names for one number, and one name will be hidden.
Hmm.
So I think that's kind of neat.
Well, there's a couple of other voicemail features I don't know if you're aware of. If you have a message and it reads off the person's number at the beginning of the message, you can type 88 on the touchtone keypad and automatically call that number.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is handy.
That's cool.
And I believe you dial *1 to go back to the message.
Very
and another cool feature that a lot of voicemail systems don't have is undelete.
Undelete?
Which you can do as long as you're still connected.
Uh-huh.
If you're in voicemail and you just deleted a message, or any time during that session deleted a message that you realized you shouldn't have, just dial *3.
But that only works while you're connected. You hang up, it's gone. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there have been systems that did that. I mean,
yeah, there are some.
Yeah, I mean, every computer system, you know, doesn't delete the thing until you say, okay, that's it, you know, it's all over.
But 9X voicemail, you delete it, it's gone.
It's gone. Okay, we have some exciting updates on the various things that we're involved in tonight. Stay tuned. Okay, we've got Porkchop on the line with us. You there?
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Now, we're doing a live netcast again tonight.
That is right.
And we're being bandied about all throughout the planet. Any ideas to capacity tonight? Last week, I think we had 160, 180? What was it?
It was 180. And unfortunately, we're at the same limit this time.
Uh-huh. Okay, and there's a reason for that, right? It has to do with a problem on our end.
Yes, it is. We need more coders, more people to actually encode the audio stream that's being sent from the radio to the servers around the world.
Now, do you need a college degree to be able to code these things? Or
not exactly,
okay, how does it work?
Well, you can drop by www.real.com and just download the server. It's free of charge. I mean, download the coder, rather. Then you can contact me, porkchop@2600.com. Give me your computer type and modem speed, and I'll tell you which server you can code to.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, so basically you just have to be within the listening area. You have to have a radio that can plug into your computer and a modem speed of how much?
33.6 or 28.8 even will work. ISDN is best. If you have that, that's great.
Okay, so email porkchop@2600.com. Just to give us an example, if we had enough coders, how many people could be listening right now as opposed to 180?
Theoretically, yeah. Infinite.
Infinite?
Infinite.
Well, that's a nice number.
Yeah.
I like that number. Okay, great. Well, are the 180 spots taken already?
They are, except there is one server called Mutang. He is, I think he's down at 21 instead of 60.
Uh-huh.
Last I checked, which was 34 now.
Okay, well, hopefully some of those people from overseas and other places will call us, so we look forward to hearing from them a little later on in the program. For future reference, the phone number is country code 1 and area code 212-279-3400. Porkchop, thanks very much for all your efforts here.
One more thing. We are on IRC right now. If you want to join EFNet, channel Off the Hook, OFFTHEHOOK, no spaces.
Okay. And we can have an ongoing discussion about the show as it progresses on the air.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we'll see you on the other side.
Yep.
Take care.
You too.
That's Porkchop giving us an update from Control Central, I guess, as we get spread all over the internet. It's kind of cool. Did you ever really think it would happen like this?
Actually, no.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's like virtually unlimited number of people can tune in now. And I think it's just the beginning of what we're going to see in years ahead.
A lot cheaper than a satellite feed.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. Most definitely. Okay, now we have some trouble we're going to cause. I'll tell you, I've got mixed feelings about doing this. I mean, we always seem to be causing things to break and telling people things that are bad to know. You know, information can be very dangerous.
Very.
And by giving out information, are we not as responsible as those people that do the worst possible thing with that information? Should we not feel as guilty? Are we not criminals?
Is this a trick question?
No, actually, it's just a rhetorical question.
Oh.
But we've got two lines of code here. Well, it's not just two lines of code. It's
The two lines of code that packs a punch.
Do you want to mention the little incident before today, or should we just pretend no one else ever finds out about that?
No, well, I mean, we should give a little background first, though.
This happened last week, right? It was uncovered last week.
Yeah, this actually broke at some time last week. It was kind of sketchy at the time, but basically, it was discovered that there's a really big, nasty bug in Intel Pentium processors that really makes their floating point rounding problem in 1994 pale by comparison, since that other than, you know, the occasional math being wrong, it was generally harmless, unless you were computing missile trajectories or something. But in the absence of that, this is a lot more sinister, because it's basically an impossible opcode, as it likes to be known as.
Impossible opcode?
Impossible opcode. And it's been nicknamed Foof.
Foof, okay. Foof. That's a good name as any.
Yeah. And the reason why it's been nicknamed Foof is because the impossible opcode in hexadecimal is F00FC7C8. And the F00F at the beginning looks like the word foof, which isn't really a word, but looks funny nonetheless. Basically, this impossible opcode confuses the hell out of your poor Pentium CPU and just causes it to completely hang, not quite knowing what to do with that opcode.
Really?
And unfortunately, that instruction will hang any Unix machine that is running on a Pentium.
Well, I mean, in all fairness, how many Unix machines are running on Pentiums?
A lot.
I know.
More than anything else.
Yeah, it's this is really a big problem here, because with the information that we are going to give out tonight, you could conceivably crash any system on the net
that is
running a Pentium.
All,
an internet service provider.
Yeah.
You know, a huge one. Hundreds, perhaps thousands of users. You just have to run this little thing and whammo, you know, it locks up.
We figure there's going to be a lot of chaos and mayhem that's going to ensue anyway.
Yeah, we don't want people to do that.
No. See, the thing is that, as reported in the media, they didn't really describe it properly and certainly didn't give the details. And right now, all the details are being discussed on various security mailing lists. And I think that the general public should probably know, and should probably know by knowing how to do it, since they could try it themselves.
I have a question.
Yeah.
How do you fix this?
Unfortunately, there is no way to fix it. The only real way you can fix it is if Intel themselves actually allowed you to trade in your Pentium, just like they did with the floating point problem.
Well, you know, I'll bet if there's enough of a demand, they'll do just that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, let me just draw a couple of examples. We've got Bernie S. joining us on the line from the Philadelphia office.
Hey.
Of Off the Hook Incorporated. How you doing?
Good. Now, it's chilly here in Philly.
Yes, well, it's cold up here too, but we're coping. Now, the Pentium thing reminds me, I mean, the public outcry thing, right? It has to do with people reacting to what they consider to be an unfair situation. Much like what happened with Bernie S. a little over a year ago, much like what happened a couple of days ago with this nanny case in Boston. I mean, that was pretty interesting. In fact, I saw a few parallels between the two cases. You know, it was much, much bigger on her, you know, her behalf. If you're going to get involved with killing babies, I guess you get a lot more attention and support and things like that. But in your case, where you got thrown into prison for possessing a red box, people were outraged. It just took a little longer for the outrage to reach the boiling point. But once that happened, once people got outraged and spoke out and said things, all of a sudden, the rules were set aside. You were released from prison. The nanny was released from prison. The Pentium chips will be replaced. You see where I'm going with this? We have to make a statement, not try to keep this hidden. You know, and yeah, it's going to be a crisis for a little while until somebody comes up with a fix. But with every single Pentium computer out there prone to this kind of thing, including ours, it's going to be madness.
Now, we should add that we have unconfirmed reports that this does not affect Pentium 2 or Pentium MMX CPUs.
Well, you know, we're going to test that right after. Uh-oh, we have an update on that.
It definitely does not, or does?
It definitely
does. It
does affect
them? Okay, we have a confirmed report.
Okay.
So okay.
The news is just pouring into the BAI newsroom here that it does now affect.
Okay, so it apparently affects more than we thought.
Do we have more on that Iraqi connection to this?
No?
Okay.
How about
I'm telling all the major media that call me that it has something to do with Iraq.
Okay.
Just so they can get really happy about this. Actually, you know, I'm not going to name the network out of embarrassment's sake, but I saved a major network a huge amount of embarrassment this week. They wanted to do a big story on that AOL 4 thing.
Oh, that was so stupid. That's like Prodigy.
Obviously a hoax. Obviously something that's not happening. It's
Prodigy all over again.
It's AOL 4, the new release, is supposedly investigating your hard drive and copying files. I mean, and all these mailings are going out all over the net now saying, oh, you have to beware of this. I mean, it's great fun, you know, to play with AOL like that, but it's not true.
Yeah.
There was almost a story on Nationwide News saying how dangerous this was, and I was able to quell it. did I do the right thing?
I think you did the right thing.
All right. But the Iraqi connection, I think that's fine.
Yeah, or the Cubans. That's as they said on when I was on NBC a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh. What about Cubans?
They said the Cubans had a concerted effort to write computer viruses.
You don't say.
That's
a better thing to do.
Don't we effectively keep every single piece of machinery from ever getting there in the first place?
Getting to Cuba?
Yeah, I don't think they even get calculators.
I'm sure they could buy a computer most anyway.
From who? We have the whole island surrounded. You can't even drop things from the air.
Yeah, but a lot of the parts of computers are made in Central and South America anyway.
I know that, but
there were some people arrested.
We own all of Central and South America too, you know.
We do?
Well, yeah, we do. We sure do.
Really?
Yeah. You need to listen to this station a little more.
Oh, I'm missing out.
Yes.
But, we've been told that Pentium 2s and Pentium Pros are not affected.
Uh-huh.
But all other Pentiums, including the Pentium MMX, are.
Uh-huh.
And basically, if you'd like to try this...
Well, stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Because we understand armed guerrillas are, like, you know, surrounding the station. I mean, I want to see if we can live through the hour.
Some guerrillas now.
Before we tell people. That's not very nice. Bernie, you're trying to say something, I believe.
Yeah, are the Cyrix 686 chips affected by this, too?
Okay. We're being told that there's another bug that affects them, but it's different.
Ah.
Another bug.
Totally different.
Totally different. Okay. This is specific to Intel Pentium, vanilla Pentium.
Yeah, we're only going to talk about that one.
No Pro, no 2. But,
So
they're gonna
have to. Yeah, we got the word on that.
Yeah,
we got the word. One of our reporters just came running in.
Should I give a sample C fragment?
Well, it's only two lines. How much of a sample can you give?
Well, there's different ways you can do the same thing, you know.
Well, yeah. Let's say past the half hour mark, we'll do that. All right.
Past the half hour.
For those listeners in Iran, I believe your half hour is equal to our hour. So, basically, I don't know how to say that, but it's 8:25 p.m. in New York now. So sometime after 8:30 p.m. in New York, we will be giving out the full listing of this program.
Okay.
How's that?
Okay, sounds good.
In the meantime, big news from big phone companies. It's happening. WorldCom is taking over MCI.
Yeah.
The deal has been completed, except it hasn't been approved yet by the FCC. Bernie, what do you think of that?
Well, it's just this conglomeration of phone companies. I think if you look at the continuing trend, we're going to end up with one big phone company eventually.
One big fat monopoly. That's right. Now, even with this, the biggest corporate merger, I think, in history, MCI is still not going to be, they're going to be number two and not very close to number one. I think they would have 25% of all long-distance revenues. All right, AT&T has 48%. Sprint only has 10%. So you can see it's getting there. You know, it's almost competition. But the most important thing, and I think, Fiber, you'd be interested in this, this company, MCI and WorldCom, mixed together, will control 60% of the internet backbone.
Huh.
That's kind of frightening.
Yeah, I can see that.
So
WorldCom has been buying up a heck of a lot of companies
that's
lately.
That's how they got big, just by buying things up. Nobody knew who they were, you know, until a couple of weeks ago, no one ever heard of them. You know, they were that company that started out in, what, Kansas, and a waitress named them?
Yeah.
You know? With a long distance, discount club or something like that.
They bought Telesphere. That was their big claim to fame about 10 years ago.
Well, when they buy Microsoft, I'll take an interest.
Okay.
All right.
Speaking of long distance, I've been playing with a new toy I got a few weeks ago. I'm going to talk about it briefly if you have a minute.
Go ahead.
A company called Mediacom has put out this little gadget. It's actually a hardware product that works in conjunction with software and a service, a database service that they provide. It's called the Phone Miser. I don't know if anybody's had a chance to play with this. Have you seen this thing, Fiber? Hello.
He's not paying any attention.
Sorry.
Okay.
The phone miser.
Miser. What this little
I've heard of the Phone Miser.
What this little thing does? It's a little parallel port device that plugs in the back of your PC. You have to run Windows 95, so it doesn't support any other operating system. What it does is you pay Mediacom $5 a month, and what they do is they maintain a database for all the long distance carriers in your particular market. And the advantages that would allow you to... Basically, what the thing does is it dials... When you dial a phone number...
It does what all the big companies do, and it routes it over the cheapest line.
Least cost routing. It dials all the equal access codes for you and picks the carrier for each call, depending on the time of day, where you're calling from, special offers, whatever.
I see.
And basically, they can guarantee you about 8.9 cents a minute, day or night, for long-distance calls. They don't take a piece of... the long-distance revenues.
Now, is that really the price that they get, or is that the average of the price they get?
That's about the average. But it's not. It's generally daytime. You can get 8.9 cents a minute.
Well, now if this Phone Miser thing can dial something for 8.9 cents a minute, why can't we dial it? What magic number is it dialing?
You can, but you would have to know the specifics of the tariffs for all the carriers, the times. You'd have to have subscribed to like a. Long Distance for Less, or one of those expensive periodicals to look up all the tariffs and rate tables on a daily basis.
Basically, what you're saying is, 12 o'clock noon, I'm sitting in my house, there is a number I can call where I can make a long-distance phone call for 8.9 cents a minute. I just don't know what it is.
The company Mediacom has a website with a Java app running on it. It's at phonemiser.com. And you can enter your location and where you're calling from, and it will tell, and the time of day you want to make the call, and it will tell you how much that call will cost before you even make it. But as far as this device goes, the only downside is you have to wire your phones in your house so that they all run through this thing. Once that's done, every phone in your house will work through this thing. What it basically does is it listens to your touch tones or dial pulses, and then grabs that call before it goes out, inserts the equal access codes, and then dials the call. And on your PC, you can keep track of all the calls you've made that month as you go. It'll show you where you've called. It shows the location, the city, how long the call was. It actually acts as a pen register as well. Every call you make, it shows when you made it and how long it is.
Okay, Bernie, quickly, how do we get a hold of this thing?
Phonemiser.com. It's $50 is how much. It was $100, so they dropped the price down to $50 about a week ago. And... I'm working on a software application to make other use of this device for use as a pen register that would do other neat things.
So phonemiser.com.
Yeah, it's a cool thing. Check out their interactive rate finder. And it doesn't do anything that you couldn't do for yourself, but it saves you an awful lot of time as far as looking up all the tariffs.
Right.
Specific to your thing. They charge $5 a month for the database service.
Don't you get like 50,000 phone bills at the end of the month, though? From all
no, the way they do that, the other downside is you have to have a credit card. What they do is they've signed agreements with literally scores of long-distance carriers, a lot of the small ones, and the big ones as well. And Mediacom doesn't bill you for the long-distance calls. All of your long-distance calls get billed to your credit card and are broken down by carrier. In other words, you might have five or six charges on your credit card at the end of the month from the different carriers, and they're lumped together. Mm-hmm. But then Mediacom sends you an itemized bill every month showing every call you've made. It's on your PC as well.
I see.
But so that's how they handle the billing thing. Mediacom doesn't take a piece of the long-distance traffic. They're not making any money on that. They're making money on selling you the device and the $5 a month for the database service. Now, if your long-distance calls don't total more than like $20, $30 a month or more, then this probably isn't going to save you any money. But if you make a fair number of long-distance calls, this least-cost routing thing is pretty much going to give you the lowest possible cost per call. I've played with this thing, and it's pretty accurate.
Okay, well, that's an interesting device that I'm sure a lot of us will be winding up playing with. Now, we've got a lot of things to cover in a very short amount of time. So, Fiber, what do you have there? You've got some new Bell Atlantic features?
Some very disturbing Bell Atlantic features.
Yeah, they are kind of annoying, aren't they?
Well, depending on what you find disturbing.
Uh-huh.
One of them is rather innocuous, which, you know, many people are aware of already, is they're extolling the virtues of caller ID with name.
Okay, that's old.
That's pretty much old news. The other one, newer, that's coming around this month, whether you want it or not.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of those things that you automatically get.
It's already on your phone line.
Yeah, you might already have it. It's basically, it allows somebody to leave a message for you if you don't answer the phone, and this thing will ring you at regular intervals to deliver this message. What they don't say is how often it's going to try and how you can make it stop.
And also, here's the other thing. When you call somebody and their line is either ringing or busy, it cuts in. Now, for instance, let's say you're using a modem, and you're trying to call something that's always busy, or even a phone trying to call something that's always busy. It's not going to know. The phone is not going to know that it's busy. It's going to think it picked up because it's going to hear a voice saying, "Would you like to leave a message?" And it's not going to try again. Now, the only way you can try again would be if you use the Star 66 feature that Bell Atlantic happens to offer for another cost. You know, they're defeating hardware solutions. I can't believe I used the word solutions on the air, but it's true. They did.
Well, the thing is, if you have voicemail, normally your voicemail is going to kick in after 4 rings. This says after 30 seconds or about 5 rings. So what if you do want this? Does that mean if you have voicemail, nobody can use it?
That's interesting.
Or the thing that I don't understand is, what if you don't have voicemail and this thing kicks in, then why would anybody want to pay for voicemail?
A lot of questions, a lot
this
of good
kind
questions.
Of accomplishes
there.
A very similar thing.
So what's this thing called?
It's called Name and Number Delivery Service.
All right. Well, that's coming soon to a phone near you, and probably the phone inside your house, and you won't be able to do anything about it. There is a way to turn it off, but you have to contact them.
Yeah.
Which is a real pain sometimes. All right, I want to say hi to our 3 German listeners, our 2 UK listeners, and a bunch of people in Canada. That's what we're told from operations, that we have those people listening. Yeah, we can tell who's listening, not, you know, by name, but by what's connecting to our site. We can see where they're coming from in the world. So let's give out the phone number. Country code 1 if you're out of the country. Area code 212 if you're out of the area. 279-3400, and we'll try to get to as many calls as possible. Interesting thing in yesterday's Times, new device to help emergency workers find people who use a mobile phone to call for help. And the whole thing with 911 here is that when you call it and you don't say anything, they see your name, they see your address, they know where you're calling from. Doesn't happen with a cell phone because they just don't have that technology. But you know, under the telecommunications bill that passed last year, there is a mandate that wireless phones must be able to identify their location on 911 calls by the year 2001.
Huh.
Now, already, it's scary enough that when you're walking around with your OmniPoint phone or your Sprint PCS phone, they can tell exactly where you are because your phone is receiving a signal all the time.
Right.
They can tell where you are walking as long as that phone is on. Now, they can do that. They can also use GPS technology, you know, with satellites. This is not including that. That's a whole other way of finding out exactly where people are. But the technology is being developed by law and just by you know, progressing into it, where we can always tell where everybody is.
For our own protection.
Yes, absolutely. 911, you're having a heart attack, you know, but you have to be able to you know, tell
yeah,
people
but
where you are.
Aren't the EMS people going to be walking around a city block, like, looking for where the injured person is?
They can walk pretty fast,
I guess.
Well, you wouldn't have to dial 911. They could easily pull your phone. There's both cellular and GSM, and I assume a CDMA.
What, to see if you're okay, if your pulse rate's going up or something?
No, the system has to keep track of where your phone is so it doesn't just waste its resources in keeping all the cell sites active for your account all over the place. I mean that's oversimplifying it, but basically the system likes to know where your phone is even when you're not making calls. If the phone is off, it can't do that. They can basically, using triangulation, figure out what, you know, within a few block radius of where you are all the time. If the phone is on.
Now, here's an interesting story, and then we're going to go to the telephone. This comes out of today's Newsday. Although she was a figment of federal investigators' imaginations, undercover Special Agent Tracy was convincing enough to help catch Cyber Steve, a real-life child pornographer who used that pseudonym on the Internet, according to U.S. Customs agents. With Tracy's help, federal agents arrested Cyber Steve yesterday on charges of trafficking in child pornography after he sent the fictitious Internet user 40 graphic image files, which contain photographic depictions of minors engaging in sexually explicit activities. Cyber Tracy has captured Cyber Steve, said Andre Flores, head of the Customs Services Investigations Unit on Long Island. I don't know if they realize how silly they sound, but this is the agent and her daughter. They have a picture. There's a picture of them right here. See that? These people that I'm showing you do not exist. It's a composite photo of many different people, and they just kind of made them up out of images. They do not exist. They sought out people to send them illegal things, got them to send them illegal things, and then went out and arrested them. It's kind of weird. You have to wonder where this is going. I mean, it's one thing to post something. Is it something else to receive something? You know, they call this person a child pornographer, but basically what they're accusing him of is sending a file to a non-existent person.
Hmm.
And a couple of years ago, that wouldn't have seemed like a crime, but the way things are going today, I don't know. That's really kind of interesting. Anyway, he's being held in $50,000 bail, and he could receive up to 15 years in prison. Well, people in other countries tell us, is that the way things are done over there? And maybe parts of this country, too. What do you think? Okay, let's take some phone calls. And, of course, we will be releasing the dangerous code.
Dangerous code.
To crash Pentium computers worldwide. Because we have no choice. All right. 212-279-3400. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. I hope you reconsider about releasing that code.
Well, why should we? You tell us. Give us an argument here.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Oh, okay.
I have two questions. One, could you give me the pros and cons, because we're thinking of making a purchase, the pros and cons of a 56K modem versus a 33 modem?
A 56K modem versus a 33.6 modem, I believe.
Well, there's the question of math.
One is faster than the other.
Yeah, that's the obvious.
No, I'm really serious because I heard that 56 had problems, so this is really a serious question.
Yeah, that has gone around, that the 56 is not really what it seems to be.
Well, it only is what it seems to be if your internet service provider has the same.
Now, a 56K modem.
Right.
We're not talking ISDN here.
Right.
All right. Now, would he be better off doing 56K over ISDN or getting a 56K modem?
Well, if he's going to get ISDN, he could do a lot faster than that anyway.
That's true. But what I'm asking is the 56K that you get, if you use ISDN,
right,
the same as the 56K you get over a regular phone line? Or is the 56K not really 56K?
No, more or less, it's about the same.
Uh-huh.
Because the internet service provider needs to have a trunk-side T1 that's broken out into 24 phone lines.
Well, how about a bargain-rate lease line, 56K, you know, that you can get for about $400 a month? They still offer that, and I can't figure out why.
Well, the reason why they offer that is for businesses that are...
Too stupid to know any better?
Too stupid to know any better, but the fact is that if they're not going to get ISDN because they have to pay a penny a minute no matter what anyway.
So that's the only reason these 56K lease lines still exist, because of that penny a minute ridiculousness.
Yeah, because businesses got to pay a timed rate, and it's a lot more to pay by the minute for 56K ISDN than it is to get a flat rate 56K line.
Sir, did we answer your question at all?
All right, thank you.
Oh, I guess we did. Okay, thanks for calling. Let's go to another phone call. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
We're getting all local callers.
I haven't called for 4 months. How's it going?
Pretty good. When you got through, you beat all the foreigners.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm in a foreign country, if you consider the Bronx a foreign country, but I have three questions.
Okay.
With the OmniPoint phone you're so fond of, it's almost like an appendage, I hate to say, or the PCS phone, what signal or message do you get if you punch in your own number? That's question one.
Well, a couple of things happen. It'll either connect to voicemail, or I think you might get a busy signal.
Or give you a
too happy
busy signal.
Yeah.
Okay. Question two: what do you guys think of this thing they keep plugging as a sponsor of public radio, known as Wildfire?
I do not know what Wildfire
it's
is.
It's sort of like a computerized secretary, and they have.
Oh, okay. I did hear about that.
Yeah. Do you guys know if it's as good as they say?
Too expensive. It's apparently it's expensive, but.
It's for CEOs, I guess, but well, maybe you can, like, fool around with their 800 number sometime. The last thing is, I was watching the Discovery Channel a few months ago, and guess who shows up on their show but Mr. Fiber Optic?
Yeah, I was actually startled by that because I was taking a very relaxed afternoon nap.
Mm-hmm. And watch Discovery Channel if you want to do that.
Well, I was just channel flipping.
Watch MTV because they never startle you.
Yeah, but there's too much flashing.
Okay, but the question about it is, I'm sure everyone says, like the people on radio, you look nothing at all like you said. You look quite nice, and I want to know what brand mousse were you using? Your hair was like, you had the goatee and like the Armani glasses, and were you moussed up or what?
Actually, I don't look that way anymore. Yeah,
he shaved all the hair off.
All right, and Bernie S., you're still there?
Got inducted into never mind.
Bernie S., you're still there?
Yeah, I don't look that way anymore either.
Bernie S., you remember me, of course.
Of course. About a year ago, I looked a lot different than I do now, too.
I'm glad the jaw is healed. You're sounding like you never had an elocution problem. I'm glad you three guys are fine. And I hope you never sell ads and do Lotus commercials like Dennis Leary. Okay,
oh,
take care, bye.
Well, it's awfully tempting, I'll say that. But what do you think of that Dennis Leary commercial?
I feel like going home and working the web.
That's obnoxious as hell. You know, this poor little kid, you know?
Yeah. Well,
We've talked about this.
No, but that commercial is funny, that one where he's making fun of all the people.
Oh, yeah, no, it's funny, but, you know, come on. The web is kind of being ruined by commercial interests.
Yeah,
and
true.
Spam everywhere. All right. 212-279-3400. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Manuel. Let's see, this week. Okay. Let's see. U.S. West has news out recently.
Uh-huh.
They might be lowering their cable modem rate to $30 a month.
Are you calling from U.S. West?
Yeah.
Where are you?
Nebraska.
Nebraska, okay.
What is this with Nebraska?
What's wrong with Nebraska?
They called last week.
Well,
hey,
I'm the same person.
Wait, the same person?
Yeah.
This is interesting how the same people are getting through.
Yeah, you see, there's nothing to do out here, so.
We mentioned last week that Bernie S. came from Nebraska.
Yeah, you know, I heard
sure
that.
Did.
Just want to mention that again.
Yeah, hi, Bernie.
Hi there.
Okay, and by doing research tonight, one ISP in the entire Omaha area carries ADSL currently. They offer four bandwidths of it, 128, 256, 5, 12, and 7 something, I forgot. But it's only for business currently. In fact, they're charging $550 a month for 256K bandwidth ADSL.
How much?
$550 a month.
For only 256K?
On ADSL. When I called another one, they started laughing because...
Someone passed out in our studio. is he okay?
I can see that.
That's something.
Yeah, they're the only ones, though. Another one that I called said they would like to, but they're having trouble getting U.S. West to come and do the wiring for them. And the fact that it would take close to a year to do that... And I can see that because when my ISP up to X2, it took U.S. West about 6 months, which I can't blame the U.S. West because they have their own internet providing.
Wow. Well, that's something. I hope Bell Atlantic does a better job.
Well, I don't know. U.S. West is also offering a deal on cable modems to people who have them for cable TV, so...
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll keep people updated. How's the signal coming in out there?
So, no clue. Any of the 14.4s, which is what I have, don't pick up on real audio.
Oh, really?
I couldn't get on. I tried around 7.10, 7.15-ish, and it kept saying it couldn't find the file.
Really? Okay. Well, that's something to tell the people working on things like that. You can only try at 14.4, I imagine.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I have a lower modem. I'm sorry.
There's people scrambling around to figure out what's going on with that. Thanks for letting us know, though.
Sure. No problem.
Okay. Good luck.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
That's our caller from Nebraska, who cannot hear us, unfortunately.
Should I mention the DVD thing?
Well, before we mention the DVD thing...
Right.
I think we should give out the first line of the code.
Okay.
All right? Just to keep people on their toes here.
Okay.
Well, actually, yeah, go ahead. Give out the... Do you have it in your head?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You want the piece of paper?
Yeah, no, I don't need paper.
All right.
What you want to do in this first line of code, if you're a C programmer, you'll know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You want to define, and this is just one of a myriad of ways that you could do the exact same thing. You want to declare a static int, a static integer.
What about this part up here? Do they need that?
Oh yeah, main squiggle. You know, it goes with the territory.
But we should tell people so they know.
Well, anybody who programs in C knows you got to begin with a main and you got to begin with an open squiggle.
Okay, but people might be learning C and this might be their first.
Well, this should
exercise.
Not be their first program because it might turn out to be their last program.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, you know, main open squiggles notwithstanding.
Okay. And, of course, a closed squiggle at the end.
Of course, the closed squiggle at
okay,
the end.
Okay, we're now going to give out the first of two lines.
Right.
Go ahead.
Is you want to declare a static integer to equal the magic long word. And the magic long word, as I said before, was F00FC7C8. But, of course, you have to shuffle that around because Intel machines are little endian, and you need to allow for the little endian byte ordering. So what that really comes out to be, and Emmanuel can correct me if I'm wrong, is C8C7 0FF0.
No, you're way off, because you forgot the 0x at the beginning.
Oh, it just means it's hexadecimal.
Oh, yeah, but you have to put it in there.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so it'll be 0xC8C70... FF0.
Right. That's what I said.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'm just clarifying to say the whole thing there. So the line should read,
right,
static int code equals 0xC8C70FF0. And then, do you need the semicolon?
Yes, you need the semicolon.
Well, then you put the semicolon in.
You don't have to call the variable code, though. You can call it whatever you like.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
We just called it code because, well, that's what it is.
It's, yeah.
Decided to do it that way. Okay, 56Ks do not work on PBXs, so I hear. Okay, I'm not quite sure what they mean by that, but four servers are working, including Korea.
Hmm.
And everyone loves the code. How can they love the code? We just gave it out. In fact, this message came in before we gave out the code. I don't understand that.
It's the squiggles.
All right, let's take another phone call, and we'll give out the second part of the code, assuming that we last that long. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up, please.
Oh, hi, Emmanuel.
How you doing?
Not bad.
And I can tell by the quality of the radio that I hear in the background that you are listening on Real Audio.
Yes, I am.
Okay, where are you calling from?
Upstate New York.
Upstate New York.
Yeah.
What part of Upstate New York?
Potsdam, New York.
Potsdam. I've been there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you have a campus there.
Yes, Clarkson University.
Beautiful college. Clarkson University was one of the first colleges to give computers to all their students. They gave Z100s to every student.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah, I know. They're kind of outdated now, but I guess they don't even give computers anymore.
No, they stopped doing that because they were outdated before, you know, we were sophomores. Uh-huh. So now we have a T3 up here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe you can help with our Real Audio distribution.
Do I have to be in the local area for that?
Well, you have to be in the local area in order to send the signal out to people like you with bandwidth.
Right.
So that's what we really need are what is known as coders, who
right.
can receive the radio station and send it out.
Huh.
But you need at least a 28.8 connection.
Well, you guys are coming in loud and clear.
That's good. That's good to know. What kind of connection do you have to the net?
Well, I'm connected with a man across the T3, so...
Okay.
I mean, you know, I'm getting perfect.
So it's not at all choppy, I would imagine.
No, not really.
Good.
Just a little bit, you know, but that's just a net.
So what's up in telecommunications and computers up there?
Not much. There's nothing to do here.
Yeah, well, that's what I hear.
Yeah. What I was wondering, actually, though, was because I'm from New York City, so uh-huh. it was always great to hear you guys. You know, a little bit of home. What's going on with the area code crisis in the 212? Anything new in that?
I don't think anything has actually been decided.
Yeah.
646 is, of course, the split of 212. Well, actually, I know what was being proposed and what seemed to get support. I don't know if it's been officialized yet, though. And that would be an overlay where everybody would have to dial 11 digits for every phone call they make.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone getting a new phone number would be 646 area code, and even if it was in the same house as a 212.
Right. And so even if I'm calling within the same house, I got to dial 1616 and then
646.
On 646.
Right. Yeah, that's what you'd have to do.
Wow.
You know, it's a pain, but it's better than having, you know, the east side be 646 and the west side be 212. Everything
yeah.
above 14th Street be something else.
Definitely.
It just leads to all kinds of bitterness and scorn. You know, we don't need that.
Yeah.
So I think that's the latest, but we'll update people on that.
Cool.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Take care. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi there.
How you doing?
Good.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from 105th Street in Broadway.
Oh, wow.
Listen, too quick. Yeah, right.
You don't have to be that specific, though.
It's okay. You can triangulate me. Two quick things. Most people are not aware of it, but any of the Pentiums faster than P90s have all the microcode in flash, which means that they can be reprogrammed. There's a small boot sector which is used to reinitialize the microcode, and that's not unflashable. That's permanent. But anything else can be fixed.
Well, actually, the statement from Intel, which is what I wanted to get to after we gave this out, was that not they claim that Pentiums are not flashable,
yeah,
that the microcode is not programmable except during the power on self test,
right,
and that they are cooperating with BIOS manufacturers, and that the BIOS manufacturers would receive the microcode updates from Intel, and basically the BIOSes of your various machines, like your Dells and your, yeah, yeah, your Gateway 2000s,
yeah,
would initialize the flawed Pentium after it went through the power on self test.
Which is fiber?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's not true because I teach at Columbia and we do it regularly. We've managed actually to change the microcode to do all kinds of interesting things.
Really? I'd like to hear more about that.
Okay. The other thing is the fellow called up about 56 KB, and my internet provider just went to X2 about a month ago, and of course you can't get 56 KB because of an FCC regulation. You're only allowed to get 53.5. I assume you're familiar with that problem.
I never heard
yes,
about
no?
that.
Okay.
No, neither
are I. Okay. The problem is, you know what a Gaussian curve looks like?
Sure do.
Okay. There's a Gaussian curve defined by the FCC from the old, going way back to the late 1920s, early 30s, when they used to use carrier H and carrier I, that defines the amount of RF power you're allowed to put on adjacent twisted pair of 24 and 26 gauge wire. And you cannot put enough energy in at 56 KB and still be within their power curve. So for that reason, you're not allowed to go faster than 53.5. And they don't.
They do.
That's just an FCC rig, and you can ask USR or anybody else. I mean, they'll confirm that.
So you're talking about line speed, not after compression.
This has nothing to do with compression. Now, this is raw bit rate.
Right.
And of course, you're aware that any modem 4800 baud or faster is really only a 4800 synchronous modem. I assume you're aware of that. A 9.6 or a 14.4 or anything else. Those are all 4800 baud modems, and they simply use various combinations of amplitude and phase to make a 16 or 32 or 64 way constellation.
Right.
And so it really is only a 4800 baud modem, but the BPS is 56 KB. My internet provider will always connect with 53.5, and I measure that. But of course, it's only in one direction. The other way, you only get V34.
Right.
So that's kind of screwy.
Bernie, did you have something to say?
I was just saying, what if you exceeded that artificial speed limit? What are the penalties for doing that?
Well, the penalties for doing that actually are fairly serious because there's a galvo desk in every central office, and they measure radiation in a couple of guard pairs that are in every trunk cable, and they'll be on you faster than if you messed around with the little girl next door. It's considered fairly serious, and in fact, periodically somebody will get ringing voltage or something from a burglar alarm circuit. You know about burglar alarm circuits, which are about to be de-tariffed.
Uh-huh.
And I'll get that into a trunk, and the phone company will be there within minutes because they do run RF as part of carrier. It's not carrier H anymore; I mean, it's all digital. But the crosstalk problems are very severe, and the reason the crosstalk problems are so severe is that with digital, you know, you're basically supposed to be sending square waves, and square waves are all of the even harmonics. It's a Fourier, if you know what a Fourier transform is. And those harmonics get way up there, and they cause a tremendous amount of adjacent twisted pair interference.
Okay, sir, we're going to have to wrap this up.
Yep, so. Okay, the last thing I was going to say is you ought to ask your listeners, if they're interested in my speed, is to look at DirectTC from Hughes. I don't know if you've talked about that in the past.
We've glanced at it.
Well, we have it here in our co-op, and it's fantastic. We have the entire co-op on a router with one IP address, and then everybody is permanently on the internet. So we go V34 out, and we have 400 KB coming back in, and I'll call some other time and describe it.
Okay, great.
By the way, I used to take care of the transmitter at BAI back in the Whitmore days.
Oh, really?
Bye.
Great. Well, hopefully that was your job. All right, that's interesting. Now, we only have a couple of seconds left, so let's give out the last give part out of the code. Rest of the program, Microsoft yeah. will be issuing another statement aimed directly at us after we do this, which we probably can't mention. Do you want to give this up? Sure. Basically, since we first defined a variable that has the instruction for the impossible opcode, what we now need to do is make it execute.
Right.
And the easiest way to do that is to typecast the variable to be a pointer to a function, which then has the added bonus of running it.
Just give the code.
Oh, go ahead. You give it.
Okay, two open parentheses.
Right.
Followed by INT.
Right.
And I guess you need the space if you want it to be neat.
Yeah.
And then another open parentheses with a star in the middle of it.
Right.
And then closed parentheses. Then an open parentheses and a closed parentheses and a closed parentheses.
Right.
Then an and sign and the word code or whatever your variable
right.
happens to be. Then a closed parentheses. Then another open and closed parentheses, and then a semicolon.
There you go.
That's kind of ridiculous, all those parentheses. I mean, well, I don't know how to say that. Is there a quicker way to say all that?
No, you said it right.
Okay. So double open parentheses, INT, open parentheses, star, closed parentheses, open parentheses, closed parentheses, closed parentheses, and sign variable, which we said code in this case.
Basically, in plain English, you're typecasting.
Right, and I finished. Closed parentheses, open parentheses, closed parentheses, semicolon. And then, of course, you're... close squiggle at the end of the program.
Okay.
All right, that's it.
There we go.
We've just given out the worst information I think we've ever given out. And we'll see what the aftermath of that is next week. Until then, for Fiber Optic, Bernie S., this is Emmanuel Goldstein for Off the Hook. Have a good night.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving. Now I can't make a call. It couldn't get much worse. But if they could, they would. Oh, they live on for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood. But Billy Bo!
The campaign to free the Puerto Rican nationalists being held in U.S. prisons is picking up momentum, and now labor is playing its part as well. Come to a night of labor solidarity with the Puerto Rican political prisoners on Friday, November 14th at 6 p.m. It'll be held at Local 1199, 310 West 43rd Street, between